Meeting.
Hi, Roberta.
Hi. This is a meeting conceived to bring an added dimension of realism to our remote OA community. We want to again emphasize to everyone that the link, login, and instructions that you received to participate on this meeting are not to be published anywhere, but only to be shared with those directly interested. Our goal is to share the power of recovery via a meeting that is safe and by its nature, very visual. We want to welcome all those here and virtually. You may reference our webcast guide for detailed instructions and information. If you would like to participate in the meeting, either by video or by phone, before the meeting begins, please use the Sign Up Genius link called Volunteer to Participate Virtually on our website, mnhowlive.org. On the same webpage, you will find a link to our meeting readings and tools. If you've not signed up, or you may volunteer to take a reading or tool or participate in any other way in the meeting's live chat. We do this in advance so that we can keep the meeting flowing smoothly. If you need technical help, there will be multiple coaching sessions Thursday evenings from 5:30 to 9 p.m. Central Time on this same meeting. If you are unable to make this time, please send a note to mnhowlive@gmail.com. This meeting is being recorded. Please visit our website at mnhowlive.org to download. Ask that if you do need to eat during the meeting, please eat quietly in the back of the room. For those in person, please take a moment to silence or turn off your cell phones and do not connect to the room's Wi-Fi. To open the meeting, let's have a moment of quiet meditation and, for those who wish, join us in saying the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done. I assume that I am not alone this evening, but for the record, are there any other compulsive eaters at this meeting other than myself?
Yay!
The We Care folder will be circulating in the room for the duration of the meeting. The first time for you to list your name, telephone number, and email, and the rest to for you to take names and phone numbers to call during the week. If you are joining us remotely, please use the meeting's chat function as a virtual We Care book and enter your first name, phone number, times available for phone calls, and whether or not you are currently a sponsor in the How format. We will then add you to the We Care book that is being circulated in the room. A copy of this list can be sent to you via email after the meeting. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and mutual support, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and carry this message of recovery to those who still suffer. Would someone please read, what is how?
Hi, everyone. This is Liz A., grateful compulsive overeater and food addict in Ormond Beach, Florida.
Hi, Liz.
Lynn.
What is how? How is a movement within Overeaters Anonymous whose basic principle is that abstinence is the only means to freedom from compulsive overeating and the beginning of a spiritual life. Where and why did Hal begin? Hal began in Phoenix in 1981 as a means of reviving a group called OA Victorious. Its meeting format is taken from Roseanne's book, I Put My Hand in Yours, and centers around the concept of service. Many of the questions used in Hal sponsoring stem from OA Plus and Westminster groups. The outline of service came from the OA Suffolk County, New York Sponsors Guide. Thanks, I pass.
Thank you, Lynn.
Thanks, Liz.
Would someone please read the only requirement?
Hello, everyone. I'm Jody, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Jody.
Hi. The only requirement, Overeaters Anonymous respects the autonomy of each OA group. We do suggest, however, that any group that has requirements, in addition to the suggested 12 steps and 12 traditions, inform its members that these requirements are what that particular group has found effective in working the program and do not represent OA as a whole. The members of this group have found the HOW concept to be effective in working the OA program. The opinions expressed here this afternoon by those who share are their own and not necessarily those of OA. The Board of Trustees states, we understand the third tradition to mean that individual ways of working one's program should not exclude any compulsive overeater from attendance and participation at OA meetings anywhere, anytime. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Anyone who says he or she is a member. We of Overeaters Anonymous welcome all members with open arms.
Thanks, Jody.
Okay. Would someone please read the HOW concept? We can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yay! I'm Jane, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Jane.
Hi. The HOW concept. The Overeaters Anonymous HOW meetings have been formed to offer the compulsive overeater who accepts the 12 steps and 12 traditions as a program of recovery, a disciplined and structured approach. HOW groups are formed in the belief that our disease is absolute and that only absolute acceptance of the OA program will offer any sustained abstinence to those of us whose compulsion has reached a critical level. Therefore, we accept the 9 tools of program and the 12 steps and 12 traditions as necessary for our recovery. In OA HOW, our daily action plan is outlined in the structured use of each of the other tools. Our meetings are dedicated to the concept of remaining honest, open-minded, and willing to listen. This is the HOW of the program. We pray that the collective group conscience and love that these ideals offer us will promote a strong sense of security that will enable us to experience a new unity and wholeness with all those around us, and that the HOW ideals will help us to progress in our program of recovery on a daily basis. To be certain, much of our strength is found in the structure of meetings and in the daily adherence to the program as it is written in our literature. The Tuesday evening meeting also firmly understands that after our recovery has begun through abstinence and the taking of the first 3 steps, our further surrender to the additional steps of recovery offers us a promise of happiness, contentment, and achievement in all areas of our lives. We ensure our continued and sustained abstinence from compulsive overeating by being forever aware that God is doing for us what we have never been able to do for ourselves. May God, as each of us understands him, open our minds and our hearts to the love which is manifested in this meeting. Amen. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Jane. Would someone please read Reflections for the Newcomer?
Hi, this is Michelle C., compulsive overeater.
Hi, Michelle.
Michelle.
Reflections. Hi, everyone. reflections for the newcomer. Welcome to OA How. We are all so glad you've decided to become a part of our fellowship. You know that the How concept is a disciplined program. We believe that the discipline of weighing and measuring, of telephoning our sponsor at a particular time, of attending meetings and making phone calls, all leads to a life based on universal discipline, which is accord rather than discord, even with many things going around us. Therefore, if there is a breakdown in any of these areas, the concept is threatened, as is the individual's abstinence. Oops. Okay, all right, let's see. We have found that the discipline must remain as constant for the beginner as for the sponsor. If the newcomer shies away from life's responsibility, the sponsor may give the newcomer's time spot to someone more committed to recovery. This is not a personal affront, but a matter of necessity. So many who think they should recover, in fact, are not ready. If newcomer if the newcomer should show lack of commitment, the sponsor may offer. I am so sorry. I keep losing my spot here. If the newcomer should show lack of commitment, the sponsor may then offer the newcomer assistance in being a new sponsor. The rationale here is if the newcomer insists on picking up the food before the phone, then there is a breakdown in the level of communication between the sponsor and the newcomer. Let's see here. Frothy emotional appeal seldom suffice. That's from the doctor's opinion, big book, Roman numeral 26, paragraph 2. If a sponsor slips, get a new one. The pitfalls of self-discipline, be overstressed if you are recovered. Therefore, a sponsor in all self-honesty must release all sponsees to continue his own recovery. A sponsor cannot give what he does not experience. Finally, you must believe that we need each other. All problems that arise can be worked on via the phone or person-to-person contact. Only positive recovery belongs at our meetings. A body badly burned by alcohol does not often recover overnight, nor do twisted thinking and depression vanish in a twinkling. We are convinced that a spiritual mode of living is the most powerful restorative. From the Family Afterward, Big Book, page 133, paragraph 2. Good luck. Everyone in the fellowship is praying that you find the release from the obsession so many of us have. God bless, no matter what. Keep coming back. We'll always be here for you. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Michelle.
Yes, thank you, Michelle. Would someone please read an excerpt from step 2 of the OA 12 and 12?
Hi, this is Rebecca B., and I think I have to change something on my preferences really quick about that. Okay. Sorry about that, everyone. I was fooling around with it, and yeah, anyway. So, hi, Rebecca B. in Ohio, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to OA How. We are all so glad that you have decided to become a part of our fellowship. you know that the HOW concept is a discipline program. We believe that the discipline of weighing and measuring, of telephoning your sponsor at a particular time, of attending meetings and making phone calls, all lead to a life based on the universal discipline, which is accord rather than discord, even with many things going on around us. Therefore, if there is a breakdown in any of these areas, the concept is threatened, as is the individual's abstinence. We have found that the discipline must remain as constant for the beginning as for the sponsor. If the newcomer shies away from this life's responsibility, the sponsor may give the newcomer's time slot to someone more committed to recovery. This is not a personal affront, but a matter of necessity. So many who think they should recover, in fact, are not ready. If the newcomer should show lack of commitment, the sponsor may then offer the newcomer assistance in finding a new sponsor. The rationale here is, if the newcomer insists on picking up the food before the phone, then there is a breakdown in the level of communication between the sponsor and the newcomer. Quote, frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. That's Doctor's opinion from the AA Big Book, page 26, paragraph 2, XXVI. If a sponsor slips, get a new one. The pitfalls of self-deception cannot be overstressed if you are to recover. Therefore, a sponsor, in all self-honesty, must release all sponsees to continue his own recovery. A sponsor cannot give what he does not experience. Finally, you must believe that we need each other. All problems that arise can be worked on via the phone or person-to-person contact. Only positive, upbeat recovery belongs at our meetings. Quote, a body badly burned by alcohol does not often recover overnight, nor do twisted thinking and depression vanish in a twinkling. Wait. Am I reading the wrong one?
Go ahead.
All right. I think this is the one we just read. A body badly burned by alcohol does not recover overnight, nor do twisted thinking and depression vanish in a twinkling. We are convinced that a spiritual mode of living is the most powerful restorative. The Family Afterward, Big Book, page 133, paragraph 2. Good luck. Everyone in the fellowship is praying that you find the release from the obsession so many of us have. God bless. And no matter what, keep coming back. We'll always be here for you.
Thank you, Rebecca. Would someone please read from chapter 5 of the book, Alcoholics Anonymous, how it works? We can't hear you.
Okay, my name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Thank you, Tamara.
Hello. Chapter 5, How It Works. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living, which demands rigorous honesty. Their choices are less than average. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capability or the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we're like now. If you've decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any lengths to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these, we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, and powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. But there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Pass.
Thanks, Tamara.
Yes, thanks, Tamara. Would someone please read the 12 steps of recovering.
Hi. Hi, it's Bridget L. Hello. Do you have video? Maybe not yet. Okay, there we go. Hi. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked God to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Many of us exclaimed, "What an order! I can't go through with it." Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. This is from the Big Book, Chapter 5, page 60.
Thanks, Bridget.
Yeah, thanks, Bridget. Would someone please read the 12 traditions of the program?
Hi, my name is Debbie, and I'm a compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Debbie.
Debbie. The Tools of Recovery. The 12 Steps of Overeaters Anonymous are a program of recovery. Webster's Dictionary defines tool as any person or thing used to get something done. We have many tools of the program which will help us to recover on a daily basis. Tools are essential to get the job done, and they work for us. In order for a tool to work, it must be used.
No.
Yeah, it says so right here. So too with our tools of recovery. I will ask that how sponsors explain how they use a particular tool with a limit of 3 minutes for each tool. Would someone be willing to be the timekeeper? Thank you, Mary. Virtual participants receive timing prompts via chat. Abstinence plan of eating.
Hi, everybody. This is Jody M. again, and I have the plan of eating. A food plan.
Jody.
Hi. A food plan is a commitment to recovery. The how disciplines were designed for food addicted people. We believe in a disciplined and structured approach. How abstainers do not modify their food plan to suit themselves and commit themselves to black and white abstinence. Deviations invite the return of many other problems. A food plan is not a personal thing in how. This means that we depend upon each other for the strength and growth that we need to remain abstinent. We join together in an effort to free the compulsive overeater from the bondage of food through the use of a food plan, positive thinking, and the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. We eat weighed and measured meals with nothing in between except sugar-free beverages and sugar-free gum. Food is written down, called into our sponsor, and committed so that we can get on with our recovery and out of the food. We also believe that negative thinking is a large part of our disease, so we abstain from negative thinking. Those of us who work the HOW program concepts use the following guidelines for food plans. We do not write our own food plan. We use a food plan given to us by a doctor, nutritionist, or dietitian. We discuss it with our sponsor. We do not pick one that allows any of our binge foods. If some food on our plan becomes a problem, we avoid it. Two, unless approved by a sponsor, we do not skip meals, switch meals, or combine meals. We do not deviate or manipulate our food plan in any way. If we need to change our committed food during the day, we call a sponsor. We weigh and measure all our portions so that there is no guesswork. We do not measure by eye. We use a measuring cup, spoon, and scale. And I have the majority of my abstinence kit here in front of me. I'm going to start with the scale. This one is a spring-loaded scale, and I like it because it packs inside its little dish and goes anywhere with me, and it's incredibly affordable at Target or any other store that you might get it at. So you start off, and I'm going to get it nice and close. You start off by using the dial to get the little red indicator on zero. And then, of course, sitting it down on a level surface, you put your food in, and then with it at eye level, so if you need to get down or put it up on a shelf, get at eye level and get the indicator to the number of ounces you need. So if it's 3 ounces of protein or 6 ounces of vegetable, whatever it happens to be. But you do the best you can, honestly, and then you let it go. So that is the spring-loaded scale. And then I have the digital scale. And this one is kind of nice because you start with it on, again, flat level surface, and you put your plate on there, and then you can hit your zero button or your tear button, and it zeroes it out, and then you can add on your food. And let's say you start with your protein, then you hit the zero button, and then you can add your starch if you weigh your starch and so forth. And you can build your meal one food item at a time and just keep hitting that zero button in between. So that's the digital scale. And then if you're using measuring cups, you put your food into the cup and then you level it off with a straight edge of some sort.
usually not a letter opener, but that's what I have handy. So you would level it off, and then what's inside the cup belongs to you. And what's outside the cup or on your straight edge or maybe fell on the counter, not yours, only what's inside the cup. So obviously make sure you're not doing something like this over the top of the plate that you're building your meal on. The same thing goes for spoons. I don't have them handy, but it is the same set of rules. Put it in, level it off with a straight edge. What's inside belongs to you, and what is not does not belong to you until another meal, maybe. For me, the most critical part of my food plan is the telephone. I use my phone to commit my food to my sponsor every single day. And if anything should happen along the way, if the spouse eats some part of, you know, something that I had committed and there's no more left in the house, I might need to make a food change. I have dogs and they've been known to get at my food if I happen to walk away from it. It has happened. And so at that point, I don't know how much I've eaten, and that becomes a more complicated situation. In that case, when I make a phone call, I want to actually connect with somebody live because it's not just an easy switch out. In the first example, like if I just needed to switch from one fruit to another or one type of starch to another and even switch out, that my sponsor and I have an agreement. I call her first. If I don't reach her, I leave a message. And then I call two more sponsors. And if I haven't reached somebody by the third person, I leave a message there. Then I've made my food change and I've honestly called three people, and then I can make the change and I can let go of it. And I had to do that recently. So I think that's everything in the food plan. I'm going to move on. Let's see. We weigh ourselves once a month until we reach goal weight, and once a week on maintenance. Number five, unless advised otherwise by your doctor, we take a multivitamin and drink 64 ounces of water a day. Number six, we do not drink alcohol. Seven, we do not use foods containing sugar, except if sugar is listed fifth or beyond on the ingredients label. And above all, we do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It's not the extra string bean that counts. It is the decision to take it. And that is so true. It's kind of interesting that as I'm looking at these different guidelines for our food plan and the fact that we don't eat foods containing sugar. And I've had to tell people, sometimes I simply just say that, you know, I have a food allergy and my food allergy is sugar. And I've had people whose eyes about bug out of their minds, and they're like, really, what happens to you when you eat sugar? Well, I have been mostly free and clear of sugar for 9 years now, and with a couple of lapses, but for the most part for 9 years. And I've gotten to the point now where I really am sensitive. If I happen to accidentally get some kind of food that has some sugar in it, inadvertently, unknown to me, I know it right away. My body temp heats up. I literally get a buzz as if, like I remember when I used to have alcohol in the past, I would get a buzz. That happens to me now when I eat sugar. So I really do have a sensitivity to it now, and I know it immediately if it gets into my system by accident or when I slip, you know, when I returned to sugar, not very long ago, my husband actually thought I was drunk because I had eaten a large amount of sugar. So, does happen. And so it's amazing to me. For the most part, I don't miss sugar. And it really isn't a physical thing for me anymore. So the gift of abstinence is that the physical health of my body is truly amazing. And I am so grateful for that I physically don't want it anymore. When I want it, it is the emotional. And that's where we turn to our fellows. What it says here that a food plan is not a personal thing, and we depend upon each other for the strength Thank you. I see the 1 minute warning. For the strength and growth that we need to remain abstinent. When things get emotionally tough, that's when I'm in trouble. And that's when I need to pull out that phone and use it for more than just committing my food, but for connecting with people and getting myself out of those emotional food thoughts and to work that out. That's what it means when we depend upon each other for the strength and the growth to remain abstinent, and that we join together in an effort to free ourselves of this compulsive eating. That's what that means. And I'm so grateful that this fellowship is so strong. Thank you all for being here tonight. I really do appreciate it. I count on you all. Thank you. And I'm going to pass.
Thank you, Jody. Sponsor.
Hello? Oh.
We can't. There you are.
There I am. Hi. Jane, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Jane.
Hi. So tool number two, sponsorship. Sponsors are OA members who are committed to abstinence and to living the 12 steps and the 12 traditions to the best of their ability. We ask a sponsor to guide us through our program of recovery on all three levels, physical, emotional, and spiritual. In working with other members of OA and sharing their experience, strength, and hope, sponsors continually renew and reaffirm their own sobriety. Sponsors share their program up to the level of their own experience. Ours is a program of attraction. Find a sponsor who has what you want and ask how it was achieved. A member may work with more than one sponsor and may change sponsors at will. A HOW sponsor is a compulsive overeater who has completed at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence and who has taken the first three steps of the program. Sponsors have also completed at least 70 days of assignments. Reflections to the sponsor, suggestions for discussion. No list of reflections and meditations are end-alls and be-alls for the newcomer. A sponsor must be attentive not only to what the person is saying, but also to what the newcomer is not saying. There are many newcomers who are reticent to purchase books and who are hesitant to throw themselves headlong into the program. Therefore, we have a list of pre-commitment assignments. Above all, do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It is not the extra string bean that is the problem. It is the decision to have it that results in some trouble. The HOW concept is an alternative for people who have tried everything else. Therefore, the program is an immutable triumvirate of tools, steps, and traditions. Using the tools of weighing and measuring our food, sponsors, meetings, phone calls, reading and writing, service, and anonymity, we follow the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of OA in order to free ourselves from the bondage of food addiction. Sponsors do not have the right to play God. We help each other. So again, I'm Jane, compulsive overeater. I have been in HOW since September, mid-September of last year, and started in on those questions. And it felt like I had it in my mind that getting to question 70, I had become a sponsor, and it kind of freaked me out. And it seemed so far away, and it actually came pretty quick. But basically for me, I started with a sponsor who could only sponsor me temporarily for about the first week or so of my abstinence and HOW. And it was really great. It was kind of like having training wheels. She was very lovely. She sort of, really helped me understand how the sponsorship thing works, how anonymity works, all the questions I had coming into HOW, thinking I knew a lot about HOW when I came in, and I really didn't. So it was crucial that I was really open with my sponsor. And, when she was no longer able to sponsor me, I used the Telegram and the WhatsApp apps that we have and found the sponsor that I have now, probably after having a few daily different temporary sponsors. And I've been working with that sponsor ever since. And really what I love about it is it's It's sort of, as soon as I wake up in the morning, my life is about how. It's about reconnecting with the reflections that I made the day before, because I'm talking to a sponsor openly about my writing. My sponsor also is the one who gives me my reading and writing assignments. So she sort of taps into what I am going through. So right now it's the steps. So I'm on step 7, and she has questions for me to answer around step 7. So it's really wonderful kind of going into the steps so deeply with someone. And I've always wanted to be that person in recovery who did writing every day and reading every day. And I just couldn't do it without the help of a sponsor and being accountable. So this allows me to daily, you know, have a routine of reading and writing, and then to revisit it the next day and remember, oh yeah, I wrote about that, and that, you know, gave me some insight. I now, because I've gone through all the 70 questions and had at least 70 days or 90 days of abstinence, was it? 70 days of abstinence and 70 questions. I have sponsored different people. I currently am sponsoring somebody, and my time is up. So I will stop there. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Jane. Will all sponsors, Howe and OA, please join me in sharing the following. 1, how long in OA and OA Howe? 2, how long abstinent in OA or Howe? 3, how much weight lost or gained? This is not a time for sharing for sponsors. Please keep it brief and no applauding between sponsors. If they wish to, sponsors can announce that they have an opening for a sponsee and provide their phone numbers. Please form a line starting at the microphone and continue behind me. Remote sponsors are invited to share following our line by clicking the raise hand button and turning on your video camera, or just turning on your video. When it is your time to share, you will hear your name and see you are unmuted by host screen prompt. Following your share, please turn off your video as the meeting moderator remutes your line. Sponsors joining us on the phone, please wait for a pause in the line and press *6 on your telephone keypad.
Hi, I'm Howard, a compulsive overeater. I'm a sponsor on the late shift. I've been abstaining a little over 33 years. I have 18 years and 7 months of abstinence in OA How. I've gained 10 pounds and a little bit of sanity.
Good evening, I'm Mary G., compulsive overeater. I came to OA in Western Massachusetts in the spring of 2004. We moved to St. Paul in October 2012. My first meeting was Halloween. I became abstinent the next day, and I've lost and maintained 75 pounds.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Nancy D., compulsive overeater. I came into the rooms of the PAL in September of 2017. I became abstinent in September of 2017. My back-to-back abstinence is July 3rd of 2018, and I have been relieved of 90 pounds.
My name is Roberta. I am a compulsive overeater. I first went to 2 meetings of Overeaters Anonymous in 1990. I didn't return to this fellowship until December of 2008. January 1st of 2009 is sugar abstinence. Today is 736 of back-to-back OA How abstinence. I'm keeping 65 pounds off for 9 years, and I'm off my blood pressure medication. That's it.
Megan.
Hey all, this is Megan in Virginia. I'm a compulsive overeater and I'm an OA How sponsor. My back-to-back abstinence date in How is June 8th of 2015. I've given away 85 to 90 pounds twice in How. I'm a relapse survivor and I've had an abstinent pregnancy, and with that I pass.
Tamara. Hello, my name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater. I came into traditional OA in January of 2016. I heard about the HOW program at the Buffalo Retreat and became abstinent on April 3rd of 2017. Because of the miracles of this program, I have been relieved of 97 pounds from my top weight, with over 75 pounds lost in the HOW program. My recommitment date is December 1st of 2019. And I pass. Thank you.
Debbie.
Hi, my name is Debbie, and I'm a compulsive overeater. I came to the rooms of OA in February of 2005. I started work in the HOW concept in October 2006. My current abstinence date is October 18th, 2018, and I am down 120 pounds, and I pass.
Liz.
Hi, everyone. I'm Liz A., and I am a compulsive overeater and food addict in Ormond Beach, Florida. And I am a sponsor in the two-hour HOW format. I joined OA in 1982 and started working the HOW format in 2018. My back-to-back abstinence date is 8-8-2019. I've released 58 pounds, 35 of those in two-hour HOW. Liz A., pass.
Michelle.
We can't see you. Or hear you.
I believe that's a mistake.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not a sponsor. I can't get rid of this raised hand here on the screen.
Chris.
Hi, Chris J. from Sterling Heights, Michigan. Grateful compulsive overeater. I entered HOW in January 2005. My black and white abstinence date is July 26, 2007, and I've maintained a 123-pound weight loss. Grateful to be here.
Jody.
Hi, I'm Jody M. in Minnesota, and I first started in the Rooms of HOW in November 2009. My current abstinence date is November 10th, 2019, and in the OA HOW program, I have been relieved of over 100 pounds. Thank you, and I pass.
Jane.
I'm Jane, compulsive overeater in Port Alberni, British Columbia. I came into Overeaters Anonymous in 2011 in North Vancouver, BC. And I came into the HOW program September 19th, 2019. And I have abstinence ever since that date. And I have lost or released 12 pounds. Pass.
Clay Feet. Is there anyone else on the sponsor line? Hit star 6 to unmute. Okay. Yay! We should remember that all OAs have clay feet. We should not set any member upon a pedestal and mark her or him out as a perfect OA. It is not fair to the person to be singled out in this fashion, and if the person is wise, she or he will not wish it. If the person we single out as an ideal OA has a fall, we are in danger of falling too. Without exception, we are all only one bite away from a binge. No matter how long we have been in OA or HOW, nobody is entirely safe. OA itself should be our ideal, not any particular member of it. Anonymity.
Hi, my name is Debbie, and I am a compulsive overeater. Anonymity. Anonymity is a tool as well as a tradition because it guarantees that we will place principles before personalities. It offers each of us freedom of expression and protection against gossip. Anonymity assures us that only we as individual OA members have the right to make our membership known within our community. Anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication means that we never allow our faces or last names to be used once we identify ourselves as OA members. Within the fellowship, anonymity means that whatever we share with another OA member will be held in respect and confidence. What we hear at meetings should remain there. It should be understood, however, that anonymity must not be used to limit our effectiveness within the fellowship. It is not a break of anonymity to give our names and addresses to the secretary of our group or to other service offices of OA for the purpose of conducting OA business, which is primarily 12-step work. It is likewise not a break of anonymity to enlist 12-step help for group members in trouble, provided we are careful to omit specific personal information. If their disease has reactivated and we persist in protecting their anonymity, we may in effect help kill them and their anonymity. Anonymity is the part of the program that allows each of us to stand in front of our fellows and share for the first time, honestly, who we are, where we have been, and where we hope to go, without fear that our story will be told outside these rooms. For many of us, the OA rooms are the first place where we have no fear being judged or criticized. We are accepted as we are at that moment. This is the first time for most of us that we experience sharing where we are not told what we did wrong. We come into OA at rock bottom, mangled emotionally, physically, and spiritually. We are supported back to health with honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. We are encouraged to speak of our pain, and we are lovingly told your secrets are safe. Come share our recovery. Recovery on a threefold level, physical, emotional, and spiritual. Lastly, a word to newcomers. Please join us. However, if you decide that our program is not for you, please remember that our anonymity allows us to grow and recover from a very serious disease. Whom you see here, what you hear here, when you leave here, let it stay here.
Thank you.
For me, anonymity is probably the most important tool that I rely on. I'm a secret keeper. I don't like to share myself with others. That's always been very difficult for me. So coming into these rooms, I didn't want to get up and talk. I didn't want to let people know who I was because I was so concerned with what you would think about me and what you would say to somebody else too, because gossip was such a huge part of my life. And that's how my family operated. That's how we operated. So coming into these rooms and really learning what anonymity means in this fellowship and in this program was so refreshing to me. And it taught me to trust. It taught me to open up to people. And it gave me a lot of confidence in trusting and building friendships, which is something I had never done before. So anonymity is really valuable. And I think it's something that within our fellowship that we should really treasure. And with that, I'm going to pass.
Thank you, Debbie. telephone calls.
Hi, everyone. I'm Liz A., Grateful Compulsive Eater and Food Addict in Ormond Beach, Florida.
Hi, Liz.
Telephone. Compulsive overeating is a disease of isolation. The telephone is a means of communicating with another compulsive overeater between meetings. It provides an immediate outlet for those hard-to-handle highs and lows we all experience. The telephone is also a daily link to our sponsors. And as part of the surrender process, is a tool by which we learn to ask for help, reach out, and extend that same help to others. In HOW, we are asked to make at least 4 telephone calls a day, 1 to our sponsor, and 3 more to other OA members. These calls give us an opportunity to talk program on a daily basis. The telephone is our lifeline. And so for me, the telephone is how I combat my isolation and how I reach out to others. I'm on the phone with at least 5 people a day. I call my sponsor, my sponsee calls me, and I make at least 3 more phone calls to OA members. And I just wanted to do a little reading from the big book here. Let's see, page 8. This is from Bill's story. Near the end of that bleak November, I sat drinking in my kitchen. I wondered whether I dared hide a full bottle of gin near the head of our bed. I would need it before daylight. My musing was interrupted by the telephone. The cheery voice of an old friend asked if he might come over. He was sober. It was years since I could remember his coming to New York in that condition. I was amazed. Rumor had it that he had been committed for alcoholic insanity. I wondered how he had escaped. So the telephone is what AA was founded on. That phone call enabled Bill to hear the message, and without this tool, AA and OA and every other A wouldn't exist. It's how I attend phone meetings. As Jody said when she was pitching on abstinence, my phone call is a critical tool to my recovery. It's how I call my sponsor. And in the beginning, it was one of the hardest tools for me. And it's the first to go when I'm in trouble, because this is a disease of isolation. So my sponsor told me to make a call before each meal, and that way I would be reminded to get in my 3 phone calls. And it was really hard for me. I would not know what to say. So she said, just to say that you're a newcomer and people would be nice to me. So that's what I said, and they were. For beginners, you could just say, hi, I'm Liz, and I'm a newcomer, and making an outreach call. And as you move through the program, you can talk about what you're doing in the program. And for beginners, it just might be to share how much grocery shopping and cooking and meal planning you're doing, because it could get overwhelming. Maybe another fellow can share strategies for bulk cooking or organizing the fridge or meal planning. It's how we reach out to more experienced members to ask how they coped in a certain situation and what tools they're using. The telephone is where we share our challenges and our triumphs, what reading we're doing, our assignments, and it's been a privilege for me to share my program one-on-one with each of you every day. And I try to pick up the phone even when it's not convenient, even if it's just for a few minutes in case someone needs a food change or has a food craving. And that could be the difference between a slip. If you're never available when people call, you might have a tough time reaching others when you need help. So phone calls are our fire drill, so that when we need help, we're automatically reaching out to others instead of reaching out for the food. And so I think that's all I have to say on telephone. Thanks for letting me share. Pass.
Thanks, Liz. Meetings.
Hello, my name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Tamara.
Hello. Meetings. Meetings are gatherings of two or more compulsive eaters who come together to share their experience before and after recovery and to share the strength and hope OA has given them. Meetings are an opportunity for us to identify and confirm our common problem by relating to one another and by sharing the gifts we receive through this program. We find that being on time for meetings enhances our recovery and provides service to the meeting. Though there are many kinds of meetings, fellowship is the basis of them all. As HOW members, we attend at least one HOW meeting a week. I remember when I was in traditional OA, I thought I was doing the program because, after all, I did go to one meeting a week for 1 hour out of the whole week, which to me felt like a real sacrifice. Right now I'm reminded during this cold weather time of year up here in Minnesota, my isolation in the winter especially was really, really acute. And basically I used to work out of the home and I only had went out when I went to the grocery store. And so I really didn't have any interaction with people, especially people that understood me. And I find that meetings are definitely a place where we can share our stories of strength and hope with others. And whether it be a phone meeting, a virtual meeting, a online meeting, or a face-to-face meeting, if you're that lucky to have that choice. I'd like to read from Voices of Recovery, the A or the OA Daily Reader. It's on page 191. It says, being a part of the group is essential to recovery from our disease of isolation. It means supporting and being supported by our fellow OA members. And it goes on to say, being a part of the group means I support my fellow OA members and they support me. When I first came to OA, I didn't feel part of anything in my life. I never felt that I belonged or fit in anywhere. OA tells me that I do belong because I am a compulsive overeater. It doesn't matter how much I weigh, how much money I earn, what color my hair is, or anything else. I belong and am equal in OA. I isolated because I was afraid to let anyone know me, but being a part of the group allows me to open up a little at a time. As I felt more a part of the group, I felt more of the support available to me. From that, I learned to support others. Together, we can do what we could never do alone. Thank goodness for meetings. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Tamara. Literature and writing.
Good evening, I'm Mary G., compulsive overeater. Literature, tool 6. We study the textbook Alcoholics Anonymous, referred to as the Big Book, and the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, another AA book to reinforce our program. By substituting the words food and compulsive eating for the words alcohol and alcoholism, we can identify closely. We also read OA literature, the OA book, Overeaters Anonymous, referred to as the Brown Book, the OA 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, For Today, for Daily Meditation, and Lifeline, our Journal of Recovery. Read on a daily basis, our literature impresses on us certain basic truths that we have found vital to our growth. Our literature and the AA books are an ever-available tool that gives insight into our problem, as well as the strength to deal with it and the very real hope that there is a solution for us. Writing. In addition to our writing, our inventories, and the list of people we have harmed, most of us have found that writing has been an indispensable tool for working the steps. Further, putting our thoughts and feelings down on paper or describing a troubling incident helps us to better understand our actions and reactions in a way that is often not revealed to us by simply thinking or talking about them. In the past, compulsive eating was our most common reaction to life. When we put our difficulties down on paper, it becomes easier to see situations more clearly and perhaps better discern any necessary action. So I have a whole big morning routine, but part of my daily book, again, I think Tamara brought this, Voices of Recovery. And I was reading that this morning, and then it kind of jumped out at me. It was just today's reading on February 25th. And what I wrote on was, I know that today my higher power will help me make reasonable choices about all aspects of my life if I only ask. So what I was writing about, basically, again, I mean, we bring our whole selves into this program, is that I've been having ongoing back issues with a degenerative disc disease. And so that, you know, that particular phrase, I know that today my higher power will help me make reasonable choices. So I wrote at the very end here, this is my writing. So then I write, that sparks some thoughts in my mind. But God will help me review my daily schedule so I can meet my exercise goal each week. And I put, of this I am confident. And then today also I met with my spiritual director, of which I have one, and I brought my writing right to her. So it was like all of my life became a piece, because this you know, from our literature helped me write about something that was an ongoing physical issue in my life. And then I brought it down to my spiritual director and read it to her. So we talked about it, and she encouraged me in some things to think about. She's like all good 12 steppers, although she's not one. She did not give advice. She just always sort of brings up things to think about. So it's really wonderful as you proceed through the program, the literature that we have can spark stuff in us that's very applicable to what we're going through. We can write about it. And then, of course, I talked it over with my sponsor and the spiritual director, and I can also bring it to my other fellows and hookup calls. So it's a very, very useful tool for very practical things that are happening in our days. So with that, I pass.
Thank you, Mary. Service.
Hey, all. Oh, am I being heard?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, good, okay. For a second, my computer was telling me I couldn't unmute. Okay, thank you, I appreciate it. Hi, this is Megan in Virginia. I'm a compulsive overeater. Carrying the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers.
Hi, Mama.
Oh, sorry, I just got a visitor. Is the basic purpose of our fellowship and therefore the most fundamental form of service. Any service, no matter how small, that will help reach a fellow sufferer adds to the quality of our own recovery. Putting away chairs, making coffee, talking to newcomers, doing whatever needs to be done in a group or for OA as a whole are ways in which we give back what we have so generously been given. Do what you can when you can. A life of sane and happy usefulness is what we are promised as the result of working the 12 steps. Service fulfills that promise, always to extend the hand and the heart of OA to all who share my compulsion. For this, I am responsible. Okay, well, excuse the junior member here, but I got a visitor. So, service, I have a reading that I wanted to read on this. Let me find it real fast. No. There it is. No. Shh, nope, be quiet right now. There it is. Chapter 7 is working with others, which is really the whole chapter is about being of service. Practical experience shows that nothing
so much ensures immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. It works when all other activities fail. This is our 12-step suggestion. Carry this message to other alcoholics. You can help when no one else can. So we have the amazing privilege in this program to be given a solution. And because we have that solution, we have this incredible gift. Our charge is to carry that gift to those who are still suffering, both inside the rooms of OA and those outside the rooms of OA. This meeting is essential to many people to be able to hear recovery. This is where I come every week to be reminded of, who I am, what my issues are, and that there is a solution. And I am not going to receive that message without a ton of service going on behind the scenes. So all of the people in the rooms there, in the room over there, who set up all the equipment and do all of the work that make this meeting come off, that's a huge service. All of the people behind the scenes who are being the treasurer, going to intergroup meetings, doing all those things, those are huge services. And what the other thing that struck me when I was listening to the beginning of the meeting, when Roberta was reading one of the introduction pieces, talks about that we will be fully self-supporting. And we always think about, well, I'm making my PayPal donation, which, by the way, I know we need donations. So, that's being fully self-supporting. But it's not just about that. It's about we need speakers, we need leaders, we need people to do all of the service that goes on behind the scenes. And if I, as a compulsive overeater, am just showing up at a meeting and taking in the recovery and giving nothing back, I'm not being self-supporting. I am being somebody who is taking. And what has been shown to me by my sponsors and by the people who have long-term abstinence in this fellowship is that I can only be a taker for so long. I can only be somebody who is receiving for a while. Quickly, I need to start giving. I need to start passing it on, or I am in danger of losing it. So I know for me, I need to have a home meeting. I need to be of service. I need to have a service position of some sort. I didn't see my 1 minute. I apologize and thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Megan.
Yeah, thanks, Megan. Will all people doing service for OA at any level please stand and applaud? Service. Yes, service. If you have not yet added your information to the chat for our We Care book, please take a moment to do so now so we can add your name to the book here in the room. We will keep the We Care book circulating until everyone has had an opportunity to sign it. The folder will continue to circulate for the duration of the meeting so that everyone may take names and phone numbers for their personal contacts. Enter your email in the chat to receive the list. Is there anyone who has not yet signed? The Minnesota OA Hall live meeting is a friendly place and we want to get to know each other. If you are here with us today for the first time, will you please stand and introduce yourself by first name only? Welcome back. If you are attending for the first time virtually, please turn on your video and unmute your phone or press *6 on your telephone's keypad.
I'm Ruth, and this is my first time.
Hi. Yeah, welcome. Welcome, Liza.
I'm Kalina. This is my first time.
Hi, Kalina.
Hi, Kalina. Welcome.
Hello, this is John P. from Detroit. This is my first time.
Hi, John. Is there anyone else? Thank you. May we have, please, a treasurer's report? Okay. Our seventh tradition helps this meeting provide the equipment, enhance our website, make it accessible to individuals who are deaf or anyone using ASL, refine the technology, develop other live OA face-to-face groups, and more. A basket will be passed for those here in the room and those joining virtually. You may go to mnhowlive.org to donate. We've got some bad news for you. Yes, it was bad news for us, and it will probably be bad news for you. Whether you quit 6 days, months, or years, if you go out and take the first compulsive bite of food, you will end up just like you have been in the past. You are a compulsive eater. No. Yeah, it's true. Are there any announcements here in the room or virtually? Okay, literature and books, newcomer and sponsor materials are located in the virtual intergroups resource page at www.oahowphonemeetings.com. You can purchase OA books and pamphlets at bookstore.oa.org. 25. Now it is time for medallions. At HOW meetings, we recognize the milestones of recovery for those working the HOW program. All other abstinence is given a round of applause. Anyone joining us virtually, may also request a medallion by turning on your camera and unmuting your phone. Okay. Sound effects. There, it's just, you can't get it. So, gotta unhinge this box here. Okay, let's get into it. Where to start? Is there anyone who's at receiving? Well, this thing goes way up to 8 years abstinence. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2 years, 18 months, 1 year, 9 months, 6 months, 3 months, 2 months, 1 month. Okay, now how about the just for the day, a 24 hours chip, a chip of desire. Now this doesn't mean that you've got 24 hours of abstinence. It just means that you see something here and you'd like this to be a sign or a symbol of abstinence and Overeaters Anonymous. And so would there anyone like the chip of desire? Okay. The leader now qualifies for 10 minutes. That would be me. So my name is, my name is Roberto. And I always start out my recovery shares by saying that there was no abuse or neglect in my family. My parents did a wonderful job. I still appreciate the things they gave me. Now, of course, they're not saints, you know, but there's any problems, any issues, they're on me. I have a lot of happy memories about food. Well, for one thing, I was my mother really appreciated the way I ate. She could take me to her sisters, and they would entertain and put a nice meal on the table, and I would eat it all and then take seconds and then thank the hostess. You know, that's a good child to have, you know? I'm old enough I remember a lot of our kitchen work that mom did. She's a stay-at-home mom when I was in school, and she'd make applesauce, and I love working with apples. I like taking beat-up apples, like scavenging apples that are, you know, look terrible, but hey, you can cut the bad spots out and make them into applesauce. She'd can fruit in season, and we had a garden. I remember, you know, there'd be a certain time of year when the sweet corn's coming in, it'd just be you might call it a binge, but, you know, that's the whole meal is fresh sweet corn. You know, just boil up these big pots and, you know, have a couple of those. She made homemade bread. I remember church basement potlucks. You know, that was eating out. We didn't eat in restaurants very much. A restaurant meal would be a big deal. So it was all good. I took up an interest in food. I made it like a thing because here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis and St. Paul, there's a whole network of cooperative food stores, and those started out in the 1970s, early 1970s, and I was among the people that started these things out. And we had a whole philosophy of food. And it's interesting now that a lot of that still bears up. We were death on white sugar and white flour, you know? I mean, molasses and honey, they were fine, but we just, you know, but no, we wouldn't, we would look at you real funny if you walked into the store and said, "Where's your sugar? Oh my goodness, who do you think you are?" But unrefined, you know, whole grains, beans, nuts, seeds, vegetables, not much on meat, but, you know, of course, you know, dairy and eggs and that's unprocessed. So that's pretty much still the way I eat. I eat meat now too, but it's that same, you know, just food. But there's, you know, a lot of ground to cover between food co-ops in the 1970s, and now here we are. You know, what's that, 30 years, no, what is it? 50 years later? Yeah, 50 years later. It's about. So I like to, I was not, how to say, I could eat, I was physically active, and I've done a lot of, as when I was younger, done a lot of physical work, and that kept the weight off. I didn't have to worry too much about what I ate. If I was, you know, running across town or riding a bicycle or doing factory work on my feet, moving around. And then when I got a sedentary job, I became a computer programmer, and then that changed, you know, the way it started going on. And I tried different things. I tried Weight Watchers for a while, and I was, you know, I paid the money, went to the meetings, and did not do what they said. So I can't blame them for me not doing it, you know. They had these little bars, like these 2-point bars, and they cost $2.50 a piece or something like that. And I eat the whole package, like all four of them, on the way home after the meeting, right? So it didn't, that didn't work. It, And it's it in hindsight, though, I got sober in 1990, and I looked like way back then, I knew there was something going on because I got myself to two meetings of Overeaters Anonymous. They were small meetings, not a lot of sparkle, not like our sponsor line here, you know. And these people, they needed this meeting, right? You know, obviously. But and I even called one or two people, and they, you know, because I, you know, I tried to reach out, and there was no energy coming back. So okay, fine. But I did know that Overeaters Anonymous was there. I bought the brown book, like the book of stories, and so when it thank you, when it came around, I had, you know, tried things like tried Weight Watchers. Oh, I did the Scarsdale diet for a while too. It was all good, and you know, but I had, and there was a period of time when I was. I ran a lot, and with that, a lot of energy, you know, you could keep it under control. But then, so got around to 2008, and it's interesting. I was in another 12-step fellowship, and I was starting to go through their step study guide. And it was the first step. I said, "Is there anything else that you want to get, like, where there's an abstinence issue in your life?" You know, they ask you that, and then, well, yeah, there's food. So then, and I you know, looked up Overeaters Anonymous on the internet, and it took me a while, but then I went to there was a newcomers meeting back then, and I went to that, and I remember some of the things that the people shared there. There was a person who had bulimia and had the effect of like the stomach acid as they vomited it had rotted the enamel off their teeth. Pretty vivid share thing. And then I went to the back of the room and I already had the AA literature, but a lady told me that there's this meeting in South Minneapolis here, which is close to where I live, still live there. And I didn't know anything about HOW, the house stuff. But that was a convenient one, and so I went there, and I mean honestly, here's my first memory. Thank you. It's 20 people there, maybe sitting in the front row, and I noticed there's somebody doing this same thing, holding up these signs, and the sign's going to say please stop, you know, so that this is like structured. And you're sitting classroom style, and there's two leaders up there, and then there was the sponsor line, and there's this is 11 years ago, but I still remember it, like, and the same person still goes to that meeting, but they're going around, "Hi, my name is so-and-so, I am a compulsive eater and a bulimic," and then everybody screamed and hollered. You know, well, it was her anniversary. It was her 7th anniversary, and I didn't, you know, and when everybody's going, "Yay!" What, you know, what did I miss? What was the cue here? What? But I mean, I'm built for structure. I put myself into structured stuff that I seem to work a lot better when I got some confines around, when I got some people, you know, close, like elbow to elbow, you know, or locked elbows that works for me. And I then, that was in December of 08. And I waited for New Year's Day of 09. I was going to have that my first day. And that's still sugar abstinence. I haven't, you know, gone off on a big old binge or anything. But I remember, so my last binge wasn't really a binge. It was like New Year's Eve. We were all at a friend's house. And I was still eating regular. So that, whatever it was, that cheesecake or whatever it was, that was my last drink, you know. One minute, and it's like, here's a spiritual thing. You know, many, many people that I myself, they say, yeah, wait a minute, I don't believe in God. And then there's some issue. You know, how come the clergyman or woman did this to me? Well, what about the mess that the world is in? This ain't fair. What about the Crusades? What about the Nazi Holocaust? On and on, right? What about the government? how come my life is a big mess? Well, you're in good company. You're in good company. And, you know, it really is. And I am back in the church tradition that I was raised in. And, you know, but just, it's the God of your understanding, full stop. You know, you get to pick, you know, but it's not yourself. That's about the deal. So, you know, I'm glad to be here. And I got, you know, OA How is a great program. So with that, I pass.
Thanks,
Roberta. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Step ups. Okay. I would like to introduce
Ruth,
our guest who qualifies for 20 minutes.
Hi.
Hi, Ruth.
Hi, Ruth.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I'm glad to be in your meeting tonight. I'm intimidated by the technology. But you know, in the program, we get to try lots of new things, don't we? And they end up being advantageous. My voice isn't very strong. I hope that you can hear me okay. When I practiced with Howard earlier today, there was a timer on the right side of the screen and I don't see it now. So is someone timing me? Or do I just watch?
Ruth.
Is someone timing me or do I just watch the clock?
Yes. Yes, Ruth, we are timing you.
Okay, and you'll give me my heads up to...
Yes, okay. We will.
Thank you so much. Well, seeing as this is a live meeting, I have a request. I don't go to live meetings anymore because of my situation. But I'm blessed to find a new way to live live right now that doesn't include live meetings. So I don't get to say, hi, my name is Ruth and I'm a compulsive eater, and hear a whole room go, hi, Ruth. So would you do that?
Hi, Ruth. Yeah, Ruth, hi.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Thank you so much for that. Just to get some of the data and details out of the way, the big book talks about, in the beginning of chapter 5, we talk about what it was like, what happened, and what it was like now. And you've probably heard this before. It was awful. It got worse, and now it's better. So that's my talk in a briefest form. A little bit longer form is that I did come from a family where there was chaos and abuse, and especially mixed messages about food. Either we were eating not enough, or we were eating too much, or we weren't going to have a family meal, but here's some hot loaves of bread out of the oven, and have all your fill with the cow's milk. And it took the place of family to gorge on some of these foods. The confused messages about food in my family went beyond that. I had a great grandmother that I learned from, interestingly enough, my stepfather. When my father-in-law and my mother and father-in-law were newlyweds, they were walking to town in a small town in Utah where I live. And they happened to pass my great grandmother's house. And she said, hey, come have some jam and tea. I just made some fresh bread. Come have some jam and tea. Now, my father-in-law and mother-in-law didn't necessarily know her other than by name. And they said, oh, no, thanks. We're just walking to town. We had our dinner. We're fine. And she invited them in really more forcefully, and they repeated their kind decline. And she stood up. She was about 6 foot tall and about 300 pounds, and put her hands up on her hips and said, since when ain't the likes of my jam and tea good enough for the likes of you is what I want to know. And I thought,
Yep, I come from a family that solicits to feed. And we're expected to eat. It's humorous to think now, but it wasn't humorous to live. I found that I didn't express my feelings well, and because so much was wrapped up in the confused food messages, when I was 9, my older brother, that was a safe person for me, left for Brazil for 3 years. And I became very thin. In fact, I became anorexic, only I didn't know what that was. After he'd been gone a while, he was writing letters to a girl who he ended up marrying in 1953. They're still sweethearts, 67 years later. She started coming on weekends and spending time with me and taking me to a movie or taking me back to her apartment in the big city and treating me like, you know, and that was just absolutely wonderful to have someone safe and kind again. And I went back to a normal weight. In retrospect, I think that's quite interesting, but I did visit anorexia again later in my life, but that was the first time. I started gaining weight as a teenager, and my mother took me to a doctor for a diet, and he gave me a sheet of paper and told me to follow it. Also told me that I had, just a minute, I'm not available, goodbye. Didn't mean to be rude. Totally against 12-step philosophy, that was rude. the piece of paper meant nothing. I still ate my crazy eating. My weight still went up and down. They gave me medication for the imbalances they found, and I felt better that way, but it didn't change the problem with the eating. And then my mother graciously introduced me to amphetamines when I was a senior in high school. And I mean, I loved it. I was 10 feet tall and bulletproof. For at least 3 days, I wasn't hungry, I wasn't sleepy, I went nonstop, I worked really hard. I'm gonna turn my ringer off, I guess is what I've gotta do. Should have done it before I signed on. Sorry. Turn the sound off, there we go. Then I found that I could supplement my wanting to numb out and be the illusion of perfect and okay, not only with my eating or not eating, a good number on the scale or a bad number on the scale meant there's drugs I can take. Woohoo! And I developed an addiction to a lot of drugs, and I practiced multiple addictions in terms of drugs, food, and alcohol over a period of years. Ended up hospitalized with anorexia in my mid-30s. When I was released, I was watching a television program of a national renowned psychiatrist talking about eating disorders and what to do. And he described what they called the signs and symptoms of anorexia, and check, 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 he had me. Obesity, check, 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 he had me. Bulimia, check, 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 he had me. And each day, as he had led each discussion, he ended with, if you can't get to an eating disorder treatment program, we suggest you go to Overeaters Anonymous. I had never heard of it. Now, my friend and I disagree if it was 1981 or 82, but from that TV program, I went to my first OA meeting and expecting something, you know, psychologically sophisticated, something really modern, really, really new and fantastic about how to manage food in your life. And I walked into a room in a library where there was the book Alcoholics Anonymous on the table. I was pissed. I mean, I wasn't going to stay, but I knew it'd be rude to leave, and so I stayed till it was over. But one of the other girls in the meeting, who has also had a history of bulimia, stayed for an hour with a toddler in a stroller, talking to me, 12-stepping me, about how the people in those rooms would understand me in a way no one else ever did. And I'd find a fellowship I wouldn't have any other way, to just keep coming back and see what happened. And thanks to her, I did, and we're still friends. We're still in recovery together. A few years later, I remarried, and I married an alcoholic, and he went into treatment. The only way I could see him was at his AA meetings and his NA meetings. And then I got through the denial about my alcohol and drugs. I, my sobriety date was April 14th, 1984. Two months later, I made a trip to Indiana and was exposed to O.A. Howe. And I knew the energy in the room, the glow on the faces, the enthusiasm of the speaker's story of recovery. I want what I had seen, what I saw they had in that room. And I hadn't seen it in the OA meetings here in Utah. And you know, could it just be me? But that's what happened. And I talked to the lady and I asked her, how can I do this? I mean, what do I need to do? And she says, if you want what I got, you got to do what I did. And we did it. Snail mail. I mean, long distance was expensive back then, and there wasn't cell phones. There wasn't email. She gave me the first 30 questions. I wrote on a question each day doing my reading assignment and sent it off in the mail to her. She'd read it, make notes, send it back. I'd commit. I don't know how I did this. I think it's a God thing. I committed my 3 meals a day, abstinent meals, to weigh and measure for a full week. Put an envelope, seal it, mail it to her, and I never had a reason to deviate or a desire to deviate at all from what I'd committed, and had several years of back-to-back abstinence and really good growth and recovery and change in my thinking and going, you know, going over the steps and just learning so much more in all the fellowships about all the ways I experienced this disease. And then I had a relapse, and I ended up hospitalized in an eating disorder unit again, only this time it was for bulimia. And they did not believe that 12-step recovery had a place in eating disorder treatment. They didn't think that structured abstinence had anything to do with finding recovery from the obsession and the wild shifts in behavior with food. I kind of plodded through about a decade and going to meetings, having different house sponsors, working the program different ways, and finally found another structured group that I worked with successful back-to-back abstinence for a little over 12 years. My body changed, my life changed. And I'd ask, can we do any flexible anything here because of my digestive tract is blah, whatever. And there wasn't any flexibility. So I got another God thing. I got a lung condition that they gave me steroids for. And I reacted violently to them. And the cravings, along with the crazy thinking, the body feeling different, the feeling buzzed, and that I used to love, but I don't anymore, came back. The carbohydrate craving is stronger than I'd ever had them. And after a week, I just said, I give up. I can't, you know, I just started eating anything and everything. And once they got the steroid, the lung medicine resolved without the steroids and my body settled down, I could quit eating. I was just, if I was alone, I was eating. Wouldn't matter if it was grass or cardboard. I don't know. I'd find a way to find something to put in my mouth and chew. And so in my morning prayer, I asked higher power to help me find a program. If it was to go back to the one I walked away from on the steroid crisis. I would, but whatever, you know. And then when that period of prayer and meditation ended, the thought came into my mind, Google OA How. And I found the two-hour program in December of 2018. My abstinence date is December 3rd. Took them a couple weeks to find a sponsor and figure out what to do to be in any kind of abstinence. So I've been in longer than a couple of months longer than that, but that is my abstinence date in this program. One of the things that I didn't, we do in how, at least sponsors I've worked with, that I didn't do in the other programs that I just want to mention quickly. I think I've got about 5 minutes at least, I hope. Is the different approach to the fourth step than I'd ever had before. And I'd done many, many times that I'd done fourth steps, four through nine. And every time I learn something, every time I was able to make changes, every time there was a new level of healing, but doing it the way my sponsors in the two-hour program asked me to do, I saw things about myself at 77 that I'd never seen. And I started trying to change with the help of the 3 phone calls a day, going to the meetings, doing the reading and the writing, talking to my sponsor every day, time, you know, prayer and meditation. I don't do it perfectly. It's progress, not perfection. And I'm changing and my relationships are changing. What I'm working on right now with my sponsor is we're reading in the big book. We're in working with others. And there's 2 things in the big book I wanted to mention in the time I had. First of all, 1981 to 2018, I never noticed that there were promises almost, I mean, after step 3, after step 5, after, we hear the promises after step 9, but there's promises after step 10 and so on and so forth. And I didn't see them before. And I put a marker here. Maybe a lot of you with your sponsors, when you work this, they pointed these sponsors out to you. But they asked me to read paragraph 2 on page 75 and set, and read each one as a, it's each sentence as a promise. Once we have taken this step with holding nothing, oh, I am promised I will be delighted. I am promised I can look the world in the eye. I am promised I can be alone and at perfect peace and ease.
5 minutes.
Are we still on?
5 minutes.
Thank you. I am promised that my fears will fall from me. I am promised that I will begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. And there's more, and there's more after each big thing we're asked to do in the program, and to take those paragraphs and break the sentences down and make them personal statements has been very meaningful to me. The assignment I had, the reading I had and that I wrote on most recently, my oldest brother is my only living sibling and he's 90. His wife is 90 and she was put on hospice a week ago. She has about a week to live. The emotions have been like, lots of emotions, crying, remembering happy things, having a gladness to spend time with her, just different things. But I've been talking about them in my hookup calls. I've been writing about it and sharing it with my sponsor. And every time my sponsor says, now your job is to serve others. And in your situation, if that means that you smile at someone and when you feel like crying, or not that you're not gonna cry, don't pretend to feel something you don't, but you know, say hello to someone that you might not, or I walk with a walker. If I'm walking and I hear somebody behind me, move out of the way and let them get past me. Just any little thing you can do to try and be focused on others. And in working with others, it says that the newcomer is a sick person. I think we're all sick people getting better. And it says to focus on how they can identify with you, or you can identify with them. And don't we all need to do that all the time? And part of identifying is being
3 minutes.
Thank you. Honest and open and transparent at all times. It's a job. Doesn't always work. Do it better sometimes than others. But I believe in this program. I'm grateful for the program. I wouldn't be where I am today. I wouldn't have the love in my life that I have today if it weren't for this fellowship and this program. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Ruth.
Yes, thank you, Ruth. The floor is now open for 3-minute pitches or sharing. In HOW meetings, we share our experience, strength, and hope. No one is prohibited from sharing, but we ask that you focus on the solution. All pitches should be of a positive nature in which you share your growth and recovery. All other issues can be worked out over the phone or after the meeting. Would someone care to pitch? Virtual sharing can be done by turning on your camera and unmuting yourself.
Finally have time to share. This is Mary G, compulsive overeater. I only weigh myself, well, I'm on maintenance, but I weigh myself once a week at the Y. I don't even have a scale at our house, and I discovered that I have gained a couple pounds, and back in my former life, that would have been a cause for great confusion and upset, and I would have doubled my time at the Y and done all kinds of crazy things. But what I did is I called my nutritionist and made an appointment. And I'm going to go see her on Thursday. And it's just so reassuring to know that I will go in and say, okay, so here's where I'm at. Tell me what to do. And I know, because I originally lost that 75 pounds working with a nutritionist, that she will tell me what to do and those extra pounds will come off. Boy, is that ever a change. So with that, I pass.
Thanks, Mary. Someone else like to share?
Roberta, this is...
Yes.
This is Ruth. I've been asked to share my phone number.
Yes.
It's 801-706-3304 in Utah. Ruth in Utah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, I guess.
Megan's there.
Oh, Megan, go ahead.
Hi guys. Okay, thank you. This is Megan. Just a brief share. I want to thank Ruth for her pitch. And what I got out of it was a really good reminder that when life gives me challenges, which it often will, and it's, you know, I'm abstinent, I'm not living on an altered plane of reality, right? That I need to lean into program, lean into God, and not close in on myself. And I just really appreciated the reminder of that, because that is, that's what gets us through all circumstances. That gives us the program that faces all circumstances, like the big book tells us, is possible. And that's a great message for me to hear tonight. And I just wanted to share that. Thank you for letting me share.
Hi, this is Deborah. I would like to share.
Go ahead. No, you're muted.
Am I muted? Okay, great. I'm Deborah, and I'm gratefully recovering in this program. You know, I am just deeply reminded that we all have a story. And the story for many of us started a long time ago. For me, I can remember that my story started about 4 years old, and those were some memories that I had of food. And at many decades later, I'm now co-authoring my story still. And I'm just reminded tonight about how beautiful life can be with a huge dose of humility, lots of literature and writing, and every other tool that we've talked about tonight. And so I'm just now just want to take a moment for myself and just appreciate that every stitch of experience that I've had through my lifetime can be sewn together for greater good. So I just want to encourage those of you who may be struggling at any level that just believe in our experience, strength, and hope, that your story can be a story of hope and help and change and the capacity to face whatever life circumstance brings you. So I'll pass with that.
Thanks, Deborah. Yeah, thanks, Deborah. Anne Marie.
Hi, everyone. My name is Anne Marie. I'm a compulsive overeater in Virginia. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I have been in OA How since 2014, and I have struggled since then to have any sort of long-term abstinence. I just slipped last week, and I was starting to slip, more and more as I, was trying to do this program. And it wasn't until I actually started to use the tools in the program and the suggestions instead of doing it my way, because I didn't think I needed to make the calls and I didn't think I needed to go to the meetings and all of that stuff. And on what I hope and pray is my abstinent date from here on out, I wrote a prayer for my writing that day, and I'm just going to read it real quick. God, today I am willing. Please keep me abstinent. Help me keep from allowing anyone or anything to get between me, you, and this program. Keep my head clear and allow me to see where I am sabotaging myself. And when I put other things like work, people, social media, success, or failure between me and you, please give me the willingness to follow this program of recovery and realize that my dishonesty only cheats me. I surrender to you in this program today because I know that's what will give me a sane and useful life and will help others. Save me from selfishness and dishonesty. Show me how to put this program first in my life. Discipline me to make sober, sound judgments and surrender to you in this program. I am not in charge. I trust you. Please lead me today and every day. Amen.
Thank you.
Thanks for letting me
share. Thank you, Anne-Marie. Could you, Anne-Marie, would you like to leave your phone number?
Yes, thank you. I'm Anne-Marie, and it's 703-963-4895. I'm in Virginia on the East Coast, and I can take calls from 9 a.m. until 11 p.m. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. I want to thank you for allowing me to be your leader for this meeting. I also thank all those who participated, especially our speaker, Ruth, who offered so much of herself. May we please have the reading of just for today.
Hello, everyone. I'm Nancy D., compulsive overeater. Deborah, were you going to read it? All right. Just for today, I will try to live through this day only and not tackle my whole life problem at once. I can do anything for one day that would appall me if I felt I had to keep it up for a lifetime. Just for today, I will be happy. This assumes to be true what Abraham Lincoln said. Most folks are as happy as they make up their minds to be. Just for today, I will adjust myself to what is and not try to adjust everything to my own desires. I will take my luck as it comes and fit myself to it. Just for today, I will try to strengthen my mind. I will study. I will learn something useful. I will not be a mental loafer. I will read something that requires effort, thought, and concentration. Just for today, I will exercise my soul in three ways. I will do somebody a good turn and not get found out. If anyone knows of it, it will not count. I will do at least two things I do not want to do just for exercise. I will not show anyone that my feelings are hurt. They may be hurt, but today I will not show it. Just for today, I will be agreeable. I will look as well as I can, dress becomingly, talk low, act courteously, criticize not one bit, not find fault with anything, and not try to improve or regulate anybody except myself. Just for today, I will have a program. I may not follow it exactly, but I will have it. I will save myself from two pests, hurry and indecision. Just for today, I will have a quiet half hour all by myself and relax. During this half hour, sometime I will try to get a better perspective of my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid, especially I will not be afraid to enjoy what is beautiful and to believe that as I give to the world, so the world will give to me. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Nancy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For those joining us in person, I would like to ask for your help in putting away the equipment and bringing this room back to its original setup after we have concluded our closing prayer. Thanks for helping with this. We would also like to thank our skilled interpreters for helping us to reach even more people who struggle with this disease. Yes, thank you. Yay, interpreters. Yes, good job. Closing statement. To those who are still new to the program, we remind you that all that was said here today should safely remain here as we respect and cherish our tradition of anonymity. We also assure you that following the program, will get your weight off or on. Abstinence will remove the cravings. Our way of life will remove the compulsion in time and give you contentment in all areas of life. After a moment of meditation, will those who wish to please join in to say the Serenity Prayer. Those attending virtually, please unmute yourselves. Let's pray for those who are still suffering.
Here we are.
God, the courage to change the things, the wisdom, the difference, not mine, be done. Amen.
You work it, you're worth it.
Good night. Thanks for being there.
Good night, all. Thank you.
Thanks for the service, everybody.
Everybody in the room. Thank you, Roberta and Howard and Mary, everybody who's doing service.